Hi everyone, my name is Brooke and I'm doing the Bible reading this morning. It comes from John 1 verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives everyone to the light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descendant, or from human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have received grace, in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and the only Son, who is himself God and is not in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Cool. Good morning, Pathway Church. My name's Ryan, and I'd like to add my welcome to you as well to our Christmas series here at Pathway, especially if you're here for the first time. I hope you feel at ease and welcome, because we love that you're here. So, as it's been talked about, for the next three Sundays, as well as Christmas Day, we're going to be unpacking bits and pieces of this passage Brooke just read to us from John chapter 1, which is a bit strange, because out of the four Gospels, we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, only three of them actually tell anything of the typical Christmas story. Can you guess which one doesn't? John, this one. Now, there is a bunch of reasons why the Gospel of John is different and doesn't include the standard Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem on a donkey, wise men, stars, manger, that sort of story. There's a bunch of reasons why it's not in John's book. John writes differently and in his own way. It's almost like John read the other four three Gospels from his mates Matthew, Mark and Luke and thought, they're nice, they're very factual, but I can do it better. John's Gospel, it's just different. It's not telling a different story. It's telling the same story, but in a different way. It's a story of Jesus' life and his ministry on earth. So, while John doesn't give us the nice Christmas story with Bethlehem, wise men, angels, or even a donkey, John more or less tells the Christmas story in just one verse, actually in just one sentence of one verse. Verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Now, the term, the Word, right, it's John's way of connecting Jesus with the Old Testament. The Word is Jesus. We're going to get into that in just a minute, though. So God became man. Jesus came to earth to dwell. To literally translate this word dwell, it means to pitch his tent, to live with his people. Not in a palace, not in a this or that, a tent, to be with his people. God became man, Jesus came to us, and he lived with us. That's the Christmas story in a nutshell. And that's why, this Christmas, we're digging deeply into these first 18 verses of John chapter 1. It is the Christmas story, not told in a typical way that many of us know, but it's told in John's way, and it's awesome. So there is a lot coming our way over the next 3.5 weeks or so. Today, though, we're going to explore how Jesus is firstly revealed to us in John's writing. Secondly, how he's rejected by the very people he came for. Thirdly, that not everyone rejected, but some received him and believed. So this morning we're going to step through these three R's, the revealed, rejected, and received. Let's get into it. So these first 18 verses of John's Gospel tell us a lot of things about Jesus, right? Yes, we have to do a bit of work to understand some of it, as John's written in a pretty different way. But it is there, and it is incredibly cool. So firstly, the first question I have when I read this passage years ago is, what's with the Word thing? I touched on it just a minute ago. In the beginning was the Word. The Greek word for this word is logos. In the beginning was the logos. What? Logos, it's a weird word, right, that means word. Are we confused yet? So there's a word that means word. It doesn't make a great deal of sense to us, does it? But to the people at the time it was written, it was loaded with meaning, particularly with the words in the beginning before it. So to the Greeks, for example, logos, the word, it meant the ultimate reason, holding the entire universe together. To the Jews, logos, the word, was a powerful voice that spoke the universe into existence. And the word was also used what the first 5 books of the Bible were called, and they were seen as God's living instructions, his wisdom, and the very heartbeat for his people. Logos, the word, has way more meaning and significance than we have time for today. And John used this word very, very intentionally and to great effect. John used the word, knowing what it means to both the Jews and the Greeks. John kind of grabs both of these ideas, right? Puts them on the table, and then he blows the roof off. That logos you've been chasing, he's not some principle or force or some idea. He's a person. This person, John says, is like face to face with God. He is God. And through him, every star, every sparrow, every breath that we take was made. And the wildest part, the eternal logos pulled on skin and moved into the neighborhood to let us see his glory. John is saying that God, the one who spoke, the one who spoke galaxies into existence, he stepped into our story so that we could finally meet the God that we've always been looking for. His name is Jesus. Now, the weight of this is enormous. We cannot do it justice here this morning. We get the tiniest glimpse of it today when we begin to understand the significance of this word, logos. So I don't know what it is up here, but my nose always runs, so bear with me. Right, so that's logos brushed over quickly. Let's go into something else. Another word here where we see Jesus revealed in John's epic opening passage is found in the word light. So to the Greeks, the word light, it meant pure knowledge. It meant goodness, the divine spark that pushes back chaos and ignorance. And to the Jews, it meant the blazing glory of God that led Israel through the wilderness. Light was the first thing that God spoke into being. And then there was the promise that one day Messiah would shine so bright that evil would have nowhere left to hide. So again, John grabs both these ideas and flips the script. That light you've been waiting for and dreaming about, it's not just some concept or idea, it's a person. He was with God, he is God, and in him darkness doesn't stand a chance. The true light that gives life to everyone just stepped into our world, and his name is Jesus. which is why our whole Christmas series is about the light has come. Jesus, the light, the Word, has come to us. Again, there is so much more depth in just these two words alone, the Word and light, not to mention the many other loaded words and phrases found throughout these 18 verses in John chapter 1. But know this, John is basically shouting from the very first line, Jesus is the eternal Logos who spoke the universe into being and lived in the Torah's pages. And he's now walking among his people in flesh. He is the true light that outshines every shadow and every philosophy. He is the glory that once blazed on Sinai is now shining in a human face. He is the grace and truth in person. The one-of-a-kind Son who alone shows us the Father. In short, Jesus is everything the people have been reaching for, everything God had promised, everything the world needs, everything wrapped up in one name, Jesus. And John isn't dropping hints or playing hide-and-seek here. From the opening line, he's shouting it. This man, Jesus, the eternal Word who made the stars, the true light that no darkness can put out, the glory that once thundered on Sinai, the grace and truth who met Moses face to face, everything the Jews longed for in the Torah, everything the Greeks chased in their highest ideas. John plants his flag and declares loud and clear that it's not a concept, that it's not a symbol, that it's a person, and his name is Jesus. God himself stepped on the stage in human skin. John 1, 1-18 reveals to us the Logos, the true light, and it's Jesus. Which gets us to our second R. While Jesus came to earth and people like John saw him for who he really was, not everyone did. To use the words from the passage, Jesus came and he was not recognized for who he was, nor was he received by all people. Jesus came and Jesus was rejected by people as a fraud, as a troublemaker, as an upset to the establishment. Kent Hughes is a well-known Bible commentator who I like to read his books. He says the following about this rejection of Jesus. He says, notice the last part of verse 5. And the darkness has not overcome it. Some translations render this. The darkness could never extinguish it. The light of Christ came into the world and the darkness pounced upon it, tried to strangle it, tried to grab hold of it, tried to snuff it out. And in verse 10 we read, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. That statement sounds absurd. But how man responds to Christ is absurd. John could have said, he made their mouths, he held their tongues together by the very word of his power, but they refused to acknowledge him. Jesus was in the world that he created, and it didn't even know who he was. And then John states the ultimate indignity in verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. It's almost unthinkable. He was rejected by those whom he spoke into existence with his word, those whom for thousands of years he had been preparing the way. His own people rejected him. Now, of course, I don't know exactly where every one of us is at with Jesus today, but here's what I do know. Some of us have outright rejected him entirely. We've looked at him and said, no thanks, I'm out. Some of us might be on the fence still, sort of not saying no, but not saying yes either, just sort of keeping him at arm's length, waiting, watching, not really ready to let him in. And then there are those of us who already follow him, but we still reject him in quieter ways every day when we choose our own plans, our own comfort, or our own fears over his voice. Rejecting Jesus isn't new. John wrote about it right at the start because it was happening then and it's still happening now. So whether you're here today and you've never really welcomed him, or maybe you're on the fence, or perhaps you've been following him for years and you still catch yourself rejecting him in little choices, hear this. The light has come into the darkness so he could be near you. He has come and he hasn't walked away. He sees every rejection, be them big or small, and he still loves you. He's still here. He's still knocking. And he's still hoping that you'll open the door. Today, tomorrow, again and again and again, with arms full of grace that never runs out. John wants us to see the greatness of the light, the greatness of Christ, and the greatness of his love as he extends himself to us. Seeing his greatness will cause us not to reject him, but to receive him. Again, that third R, received. John has shown us in all his staggering greatness, the eternal Word who has made the universe, the true light that no darkness can put out, the blazing glory who wrapped himself in human skin to walk with us. He's shown us the heartbeat. People saw him, met him, and rejected him. But then comes a hugely important word in verse 12. Yet. I'll read it again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Let that sink in. Not earned by being born into the right family, not achieved by trying harder or being good enough, whatever that even looks like, not voted on or signed off by any human being, just received, just believed, just welcomed by the one who's been welcoming us all along. When we stop rejecting and start receiving, when we look at this Jesus, the Word, the Light, the glory in flesh, and say, yes, I see you, I want you, come in, something supernatural happens. God reaches down and says, you're mine now. Welcome to the family. You're my son, you're my daughter. And that offer is on the table right now for every single one of us. No matter how many times we've walked away before, no matter how far off we feel today, the door is wide open. All he's asking is that we receive him, that we believe who he is. Take him at his word. And in that moment, we go from being strangers in the dark to children of God, walking in light forever. The light has come. The light has come for us. It has come for you. Not to shout at darkness from a safe distance, not to blast it out of existence from the sky, but to step right into it. To wrap infinite glory in ordinary skin, to stand beside us in the middle of our mess and say, I'm here. Don't reject me. I created you. I died for you and I love you. Receive me. Darkness keeps trying to swallow the light. It tried when they nailed him to the cross, and it still tries today. in big ways and in small, but it will never, ever win. John told us that from the very start. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not, and cannot overcome it. The empty tomb, that sealed that promise forever. So how does someone actually move from the darkness to the light, from rejecting to receiving? It is the simplest and the bravest thing you'll ever do. So whether you've outright rejected Jesus or you're just on the fence, just say yes to him. Right where you are, right now, out loud or in the quiet of your heart. Say to him, I see you. I need you. I'm done rejecting you. I want to receive you. Come in. No fancy words. No waiting until you're sort of fixed or good enough. Just open the door. And in that moment, the God who said, let there be light, will speak a brand new light into you and call you his own child, today, tomorrow, forever. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, let's say I say yes, I open the door, then what? Do all my problems disappear? Does life suddenly become easy? No, let's not lie to each other. You'll still have hard days. You'll still have hard years even. Problems will come. People will still hurt you. Some nights, the darkness, it will feel very loud. Following Jesus is not some magical shield from pain. It's a promise that pain no longer gets the last word. So when you receive him, here's what actually changes. You're never alone again. The light moves in and stays. The stuff that used to own you, it starts to lose its power. Your failures, they don't define you anymore. His forgiveness does. Your worst moments, they now have meaning because he is with them with you. He's in them with you, I should say, turning even rubbish into something redemptive. And one day, maybe not today, maybe not this side of the grave, every tear gets wiped away. Every dark thing gets made new, is lit up, and death itself gets put in the ground for good. That's the deal. Not an easy life. A rescued life. A life where the darkness has lost the war, even while it still snarls and snaps on the sidelines. So if you're ready, say yes. Open the door. The light is already standing there, waiting to come in and start making you new, one grace-filled day at a time. And for everyone here who's already said yes, who've already let the light in, you know that this is not a one-time deal. Some days the dark feels loud again. Some days we still wonder. We still choose shadows. We still reject him in hundreds of little ways. But hear this. The same Jesus who has walked with you has never walked away. He stays close every single day. When you mess up tomorrow morning, he'll still be there. When you choose your way instead of his again, he'll still be the Father running down the road to meet you again. Your place in the family is not on probation. You're born of God. Nothing in heaven or earth can undo that birth. So keep coming back. Keep opening the door wider. Keep letting his light flood more of your life. The light has already won. You are already his. Just keep walking towards him. Keep walking with him, one honest step at a time. And watch what he does with a heart that says, yes, again. The light has come. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Jesus' arrival on earth, the true light, the one who has overcome the darkness for us. All that's left is to let him in and to keep letting him do his work in us. Let's pray. Father, we are in awe. Before anything was, the Word was. We praise you because the true light stepped into our darkness. That the God who spoke galaxies into being wrapped himself in skin and walked our dusty roads as Jesus. And still, we turned away. Some of us with a loud no, some of us with a quiet not yet. And even those of us who love you still wander off in 100 little ways every day. Yet you never turned away from us. You took the nails so we could be forgiven. You rose so that death would never have the last word. So right now, Lord Jesus, we open the door. Some of us for the first time, we say, come in. I see you. I need you. I receive you. Save me. And some of us for the thousandth time say, I receive you again. Come in again. Forgive me again. Change me again. Thank you that the moment we receive you, you call us your children. Not servants, not projects, not disappointments, but sons and daughters born fresh from you. Holy Spirit, keep doing what only you can do. Shine in us. Drive out the darkness we still cling to. Make us more like Jesus, one grace-filled day at a time. And when the road is hard, when the nights are loud, remind us the light has already won. The tomb is empty. The war is over. We are loved. We are yours. We pray this in the name of the one who is the Word, the light, and the life, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thanks.